and how you rejoiced in him. You called him by two names. You called him Yisrael, and besides that, you gave him two additional names. You loved him so much, and you had such joy with this person, Yaakov, that you gave him two additional names, Yisrael v'Yishurim. Please not... Yisrael v'Yishurim. I mean, Yisrael, of course, we understand that the change of Yaakov's name to Yisrael, that change, of course, reveals a tremendous amount of love, because Yisrael, because the name Yisrael is the Shem Ha'etzim that means the ability of Yaakov Avinu to defeat the side of evil, to defeat the Malach of Esav. The name Yisrael means Srora, means authority, strength, and dignity. It's a chosh of a name. The other name, Yishurun, there aren't too many people that have the name Yishurun. There are some people, by the way, there are rabbis that have the name Yaakov Yisrael Yishurun. Not too many people have the name. It's a nice name to use for shuls. Hadas Yishurun. It's beautiful. But sof kol sof, it's a nickname. Of course, it comes from the word, what word? Yashar. The one who's straight. What is the great simcha that Hashem has? And as Hashem says, I love Yaakov so much. I have such simcha with Yaakov that I have to give him this name, Yishurun. It's a nickname. It's a nice name. You know, the other of us also have names. So the Moshe, we don't see it by Avraham Avinu, who's called Avraham Avinu has a name, Eisen has Rafi. And Tehillim. We don't see that there was a simcha to call him Eisen has Rafi. But Tavki here, the joy that Hashem Yisbarach has calling Yaakov and his children, Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yishurun, the children of Yishurun, the one who is straight, Yashar. We need to learn a very, very difficult sugya, and I'm going to begin with the easy and move towards the difficult, which will be maybe 4 or 5 shiurim from now. But it's all one mahalach. From now, the next few months, it's going to be one mahalach, and then we'll talk about different midas. Everybody has heard the term tikkun hamidas. Since we're children, tikkun hamidas means to fix one's midas, to repair one's midas. That means something is broken, something has problems in how it's functioning, and it needs a tikkun. So it's tikkun hamidas. Before we can even begin to talk about tikkun hamidas, which is the subject that we're going to be concentrating on this year, we have to begin working on something that's called Birur Hamidas. And I'm not going to translate Birur Hamidas because the entire Shia tonight is going to be like a long translation of what that means. You've heard the word in Hebrew, Livarer. There's a Malacha and Shabbos and Isser called Boirer, which literally means to separate, to clarify. Birur Hamidas. And we're going to begin with the teachings of one of the Ga'ayne HaMusar, one of the great, great teachers of Musar from the last generation, 2 generations ago, the Alter from the Vardik. The Alter from the Vardik, Rabbi Yosef Yuzel Horowitz, the Navardika, wrote a sefer called Madregas HaOdom. Madregas HaOdom is a fiery sefer. It's a hard sefer. It's relentless in the pursuit of truth, and if you're interested in truth, you can learn like 3 or 4 pages at a time. It's a very hot sefer. Madregas HaOdom, the Alter explains a pasuk in Mishle. It says in Mishle, Yudzayin, Matzdik Rasha, if somebody is Matzdik the Rasha, he justifies the wicked person, he's Matzdik the Rasha. Umashiach tzaddik, or the opposite. He takes the tzaddik, the righteous person, and he's mashiach the tzaddik. He tries to destroy it, to show that the tzaddik is a rasha. And he takes a rasha, makes him to tzaddik, takes a tzaddik and makes him to rasha. So Shlomo Melech says, Te'evas Hashem gam shneyan, that Hashem hates these two people. Hashem hates people who are matzik, someone's matzik a rasha, mashiach tzaddik. So the Alter says, we have a klal, we have a great principle. If we want to understand how things work in Shemayim, what's the Seder in Shemayim, in the Beit Nishamala, so we study the way things work in the Beit Nishamala. How it works in the earthly court. When we want to understand how things are working above, we take a look at how things work here in the court, in this world. So the Alter says, that we know that in this world, in court, there are going to be two, there's a decision that needs to be made. There are two litigants, and there's a kateger and a saneger. In English we would say, the kateger would be called, I guess, the prosecuting attorney, and the saneger is the defense, the defending attorney. The job of the kateger, the job of the prosecutor, is to be able to find what's ever wrong with the guy. Right? We have one person, let's say it's a question about a crime. So the job of the kateger would be to melamed chayva. A good kateger that comes into court and says, yeah, I think he's pretty easy. I think he might be all right. He's not going to last too long in that position. The whole job of the kateger, the job of the prosecuting attorney, is to dig up whatever he can. Whatever he can dig up that's destructive, that's negative, that's going to be mashiach the person, that's going to make him into a rasha, or to reveal the rishis of let's say this person's a criminal. That's going to be the avoida of the kateger, of the prosecuting attorney. And the saneger, the defense attorney, the job of the defense attorney, of course, is to be milamed zchus. The whole union of the defense is to try to show whatever that's good and to dig up anything that's good that could be used to defend this individual. And if the saneger comes in and says, you know, I'm not so sure, I have very big questions, I think he might be a rosh, so he's not going to list. Now, if the outcome is like this, if we would go to the prosecuting attorney, and this is what he does in every case, he's a prosecutor, that's what he works for the government, he works for whatever, he's a prosecuting attorney. If we would go to him and ask him, tell me, why did you choose? Why did you choose, Davke, this position to be a prosecutor? So if his answer is, look, somebody has to do it. In every case, you need to have a prosecuting attorney. You need to have someone that's prosecuting. So since there's a need that one of the people should be a kateger, so that's what I do. So the Alter says that when he says that, we know that it's not true. It's sheker b'fiv. Why? Why is it not true? Because every mishpat also needs a saneger. In other words, every case also needs a defense attorney. And if you're worried about the court system functioning properly, you could have trained as a defense attorney. I mean, you could opt for that type of a position in court. However, if the person tells you, if this prosecutor tells you, that I have to be honest with you, the reason that I decided to become a kateger is because since I'm a kid, I have a gewaltige courage to see what's wrong with people. I have such insight using the power of my ayin ra. I'm able to look into people, and I'm able to see, even if the guy is 99% a tzaddik, I'm able to zero in on the one fault. And I realize this is a talent that I have. Some people play the flute. Some people are scientific. I'm a Melamed Chayiv. I have a gewaldige koyach to work, to knock down, to destroy, to see the negative. So the Alter says, then we know that's an honest answer. Emes ha'isebifi. That's an honest answer. And he's telling you, he's not lying now, he says, listen, I'm living according to my teva. My teva is that I enjoy finding faults. I enjoy probing into the darker side of reality and of people. And this is my mahalach in this world. In other words, be'etzem, I'm a marshiya. That's what I do. Then it's honest. The Alter says. Now, it could come out, however, when he is marshiya the Rasha, when this prosecutor who beteva in his nature is a prosecutor, when he take is doing that in the case of somebody who's really guilty, who's really a criminal, that brings a tikkun to the world. Because he gets this criminal locked up. Because he was able to dig up the crime. And he was able to reveal to the whole world the richness of the Russia. And when he does that, then the prosecuting attorney is gewaldig. And he brings a tikkun to the world. But then it's not always the case. The teva be'etzem, he's going to be the kateger. He's going to prosecute. What happens when he's mashia, the tzaddik? Sometimes there's somebody who's innocent. Every year now, you read in the paper, you hear about people Nebuchadnezzar was sent to jail for 20, 30 years. So now they have with the DNA, so they say, oh, whoops, sorry. We're going to bring your grandchildren to say hello, you know, we'll let you out tomorrow. They send people to jail for 20, 30 years because it was a terrific prosecution. They made a great case. And destroyed a life, and other lives. And he'll say, so the prosecutor, he sleeps that night, he's fine. I wonder how these guys feel if they're still alive. When they tell him, you know, you did a terrific job, you sent that guy away for 20, 30 years, well, guess what, he's innocent. He probably thinks, Ani gever. I got locked up an innocent man for 30 years. Can you imagine how good I am? It's not such a chachma to take someone who's guilty and show that he's guilty. I'm really a chachma. I took someone who's innocent and I made him guilty. I was my shia that tzaddik. So the Alter says that when that happens, then this person, because of his teva, because of his nature, he's mekalkel avelt. He's making a terrible kilkel. He's causing devastation to a person's life and to his family. And these are things that happen kiseder, where I have people that I know, friends of mine, chavei, people that I love, that because they can't afford it, or because whatever it might be, they're up against some terrific lawyer, kiyadur, kahena, v'kahena. An innocent person whose life is destroyed, shattered. So that causes a kilkul. Let's go now to the Sanhedrin, to the defending attorney. He always defends. Same thing. We ask him, Rabbi, why do you decide to go into that line? Why do you want to be a defense attorney? Why do you want to do that? So if he tells you, what do you mean? In court, they need a person, a defense. So it's the same thing. You say, that's not the pneumius, because they need also a prosecutor in court. But why did you really decide to do this? So if he tells you that, I have to tell you the truth, that since I'm in this world, I like to see how I can help someone. I like to see the good in someone. I like to be megala, the toiv. I like to find a schus in someone. And I have, since I'm a child, I'm inclined to have an ayin toiv, to try to see things in a positive way, to always put a positive slant on things. Fine. So I became a defensive. That's amnes. He's saying, this is my teva. Again, if he's matik the tzaddik, if he's successful in helping a tzaddik get off the hook, in other words, there was a tzaddik who was in trouble, who was being falsely accused, and because of his good eye, and because he's a toiv eye, and he was able to get this guy, the tzaddik, out of trouble, then he's bringing a tikkun to the world. He's helping the world. Well, if, however, and this happens too, if you have someone that's mazdik the Rasha, mazdik a Rasha, the Avla, you remember, it was Erev Yom Kippur a few years ago, the Avla. I don't want to say the name in Shul. the din that was in America on Erev Yom Kippur a few years ago. Fan Havla, murderer. You have someone that's mastic the Russia. You have someone that finds a schus, and he's able to what? He's able to take a Russia Marusha, and because he sees, Tevis is fine, I'm not saying that those lawyers are those kind of people. Those are just looking for money and fame. But when someone is a person, he's a Toiv Ay, and therefore he'll take even a Russia, and he's mastic the Russia, he's also causing a terrible kilkul. Then you can have some murder that's out on the street, and then when he kills somebody else, or he gets somebody else in trouble, then does this lawyer sleep? Maybe yes, maybe no. But he was the one that let him loose. Remember, let him loose, Bruce? There was a guy like that. I don't know if he's still in, he's right, Bruce Wright. I don't know if he's still working. A judge, yeah. I'm shugging. So you have a person who's mazdik the Russia, and he says, but look, Lemaise, both of these people, the Alta says, they're consistent, they are completely committed to their teva, they are who they are. You can have tightness, you can complain, but Lemaise, they're consistent. I always defend, and this one always prosecutes, this is my teva, I'm oimed al tivi. I live according to my teva. Sometimes it works out good for the world, sometimes it doesn't work out for the world. So the emes here is not necessarily going to be the result of the work of either of these individuals, right? Emes? Lakan or Lakan, we don't know. But at least we could say to these two guys, it's hard for us to have a taina against you, each one of you, because you're consistent. You consistently are looking for the negative, and you consistently seek the positive. You chose this field because you can use your talents of being melamed chayv, of digging up the dirt, and you use your talents to dig up the good, so we understand. Fine. Lemaise, of course, this is a typology. In reality, life is not that simple. So now the Alta says it becomes much more serious. When it becomes much more serious is when we're talking about one person. Until now, it was pretty easy. So everybody's thinking, you know, okay, it's good. I'm not like this, I'm like this. When it's one person who has both koichas. Because we have one person who has the ability to be a powerful kateger. He knows how to get to the bottom of something and to reveal the negative side. But he also has tremendous kaitas, equally strong kaitas, when it comes to being a selegi, to be able to get to the good in something. When this individual is mahak, when this individual is mastik virasha, and Mashia the Tzadik. This one person who could tap into either of the koichos, because he has both. And he reverses the situation. He uses his good eye. He uses the good eye to what? To see good in a Russia, in someone who's destructive, who needs to be locked up. And he helps the Russia. And he uses the negative eye, the destructive, the ayin ra, to do what? To take a tzaddik, to take a nice person, an innocent good person, and to what? And to take this innocent person, and to lock him up to get him in trouble. This person, the Alta says, cannot just say a terrorist. What do you want from me? This is my teva. I always prosecute, or I always defend. This person can't say that. Because we have seen him at times, when it comes to certain people, he loves people, he's gewaldig, he's melamed schus. He says, he can't say enough about his own kids, let's say. Everything is good. There's something about everything that he does. You have people that work on projects, and they'll have a certain piece of that project. Everything else that anybody else did is no good. There's only one part of the whole place that's good, Chapella, and it happens to be the one that they did. That's how it is in life. So when you have one person like this, so he can't say, he can't give an excuse to terrorists to say, what do you want from me? I always say good. I always am melamed schus. That's not a terrorist for him. It's not an excuse. Since we know that he has the capacity, he's talented, and we know that in his life, he's melamed schus and he's melamed chayv. He has the ability to draw out the best in certain people and to see good, and he has the ability to see what's wrong. And he uses it in a reversed, in a perverted way. He's Matzdik the Rosh, he's Mashiach the Tzaddik. So Shlomo HaMelech has strong words for a Jew like that. Matzdik Rosh, U'Mashiach Tzaddik, Te'evas Hashem Gan Shnehem. And the way the Alter says, listen how he learns Pshat. The Alter says it's not talking about two people. Gam Shnehem means like this. The Alter says that we're talking about one person, that he lives these two ways, Gam Shnehem. In other words, he acts in two ways. One person acts in two ways. We have the same person, that when it comes to Russia, he only is able to find good about the Russia. Able to find good about the Russia. You hear the news, you look in the newspapers, and the kinds of things that people say about the biggest Rishon to Olam is Chus. And this we spoke about last year. You remember we spoke about what was something that during last year was a very, very beginning. The present is still lingering. The Prime Minister in Eretz Yisrael, Sharon, he is now a Nazi. Remember we spoke about this? He's the Nazi. And the Palestinians are the Jews. Arafat has been made into the Jew. Who's being isolated, beaten, tormented by the powerful Jews. And the Jews are now the new stormtroopers. And this is a mahalach that has caught on, certainly in the Arab world, in Maladavin, in Europe, and it has its places here in the States as well. So any limud zchus, people feel that anything you could say to try to be melamed zchus on a man like Arafat, and anything you could say to Lamed Chayv on a Jew like Sharon, you could disagree with some of his decisions, or certainly with his bedside manner, you could disagree with. But his whole life, the man's entire life, is what? Is to try to defend Jews. He's trying to help innocent people from being killed. That's what he's doing his whole life. Whether you like him, he's religious, not religious, that's not important for now. But in terms of what he's doing, no, in the eyes of the world, Arafat is the Tzaddik, and Sharon is the Nazi. This is the inversal. This is what's going on in the world. The Palestinians are the Rahmanis. What's been going on. The suicide bombing, v'chule. But the Jews, who are stopping Arabs to look in their bags, and as a result of that, it's Rahmanis that the Arabs get to work late. So the Jews are the Rishon. This is Ibn Ahapichu, Arahaman Baruch Mordechai, Barachaman Arah Mordechai Kiyadu, as we spoke about last year. Regarding such a person who sees everything good about the Rosh, but when it comes to Tzaddik, he's able to see what's wrong, he's able to try to get to see what's wrong, to reveal something wrong. On such a person, it's one person. Shlomo HaMelech says, Matik Rosh, Mashiach Tzaddik, Ve'yavis Hashem Gam Shneyem. Because he can't say, it's my teva. I always do this. I'm consistent with my nature. He can't say that. Because this person is able to see all this tzaddik. He's really able to see both sides of the issue. He's able to see all the sides of the... And he's able to see the schus. He's able to see the chayiv. And despite that, he's mahapach his midas. You hear this? He reverses the midas. He uses ra when he's supposed to use tayv. And he uses tayv when he's supposed to use ra. So Shlomo HaMelech says, a te'evet Hashem, an abomination. Hashem hates this person. That's scary. It's not scary when we're talking about Arafat. It gets scary when it becomes a little bit more personal for us. The Tanchuma, the Medrash Tanchuma, has a way of explaining this. The Tanchuma says in Parashas Nitzavim, Rishoyim kevan shahoivchim ma'aseyem miyad hein kolam. The Medrash Tanchuma says that the nature of the Rishoyim is that they're always hoivchim ma'aseyem. You remember this morning I spoke, it's not so long ago, those who were here. This morning I spoke about the fact that when Esau was out in the field, he was an amnestic and murderer. And when he was back home, he put on his nice clothing, he loved his father, he took care of his family. So Chazal say that the Rishoyim are hoivchim ma'aseyem. Their entire lives are led in such a way of an ahapechu. hoifchim ma'asayim, and therefore Shemsburg says they're going to be destroyed, miyad hen kol. Shenemar says in Pasuk, hafoich rishoyim ve'ein. That the wicked, the rishoyim, are reversed, are turned around, ve'einim, Hashem says, they're going to be eliminated. Because their whole lives, they're in this malacha of v'nahapichu. Mastik Rosh, Mashiach Tzadik. Hoifchim ma'asayim means, and this is the Yisoid, it's not just in the Musa Svarim. The Yisoid is in all the Svarim HaKadosh from the Sifrei Chassidus, and at the end we'll do a little piece from the Chavis HaTalmidim from Pirkei Avos. The Yisoid HaDavar is that really the Midas themselves that Hashem is Baruch gave us, each and every one of us, we have certain Midas. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hayit, Yisoid, Malchus. Each and every one of us, each and every one of us was created with Midas. Midas, and this year we're going to be talking about Chesed and Gvur. We're talking about all the different Midas. But each one of us has Midas. The Mida itself is not evil. The Sviras, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, we're not calling anything Kabbalistic portion. Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hayit, Malchus. They're not evil, Chalila. What are the Sviras? The Sviras are Kedoshes. The spheres are holy. They're the midas of the Rabbanu Shloilam. Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzach Hayit Malchus. They're the midas of Hashem Yisbarach. They're holy. They're the most holy things in the world, the midas of Hashem. And each one of us was created with these midas. Midas are chomer hiyuli. It's raw material. And it comes from a place of kedusha. The mead itself is not toiv, it's not ra. That's what we spoke about 1,000 times in shul. That in the Chumash, chesed can mean the ultimate kindness, and it can mean the ultimate abomination of what? Of incest. Right? The same word. Chesed. When chesed is used according to the Ratz Hashem, when the chesed is used in the way that Hashem's Baruch wants it to be used, that's called matzdik es hatzadik. That's when the chesed is being used in the way that Hashem is Baruch wants it to be used. When that midah is being used in the proper way, in the right time, in the proper way, then that's called tov. That's called good. If you have rachmanis on an animal, you're walking in the street, and there's an animal that's in trouble, and it's caught in something, and you're rachman, you're bel chesed. You go up to the animal's stuck, and you let it loose, you give him a little bit of a pat on the back, and tell him, go to hey. You're a good guy. That's tithe. But if you're worried about freeing animals, when human beings are locked up, and you have the yichailus to help a human being, then it's hafarich l'rishoyim ve'enam. Hafarich l'rishoyim ve'enam. Ruba, I usually said only twice, of the, what they call liberals nowadays, are in the get of hafarich l'rishoyim ve'enam. Hoifchim ma'aseyah. Fenahapachim. Arafat's a tzaddik. The terrorist is a tzaddik, and the yid and Sharon is a Russian. And the biggest of those are the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Those are the ones who are causing the greatest ideological tzaras of an hapichu, because the Jews always have to be the forefront of everything. Similarly, when it comes to Ra. So again, the meat itself is not evil, it comes from tithe, it comes from kedusha. If you use the meat of chesed in a way to help what? To help the Russia. If you feel compassion, like that Jew that he had to go to the guy, what was his name, Shapiro? That he had to go, he was worried about, he went to spend time with Arafat in the compound. And Zrachmon is an Arafat. And you have to have the whole world saying, here's a Jew that this Jew himself, or this, there's a whole list of people like this, Neville. Chomsky. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, with such a Jewish name, Noyim. Every single Benahapaychu in the last 50 years, only to the Milamed Choyvan Jews, and to Milamed Schus, on what? On anti-Semites. And he's a Jew. And the Goyim has such Hanah from that. This, Rabbi is saying, is called Birur Hamidus. Tonight is just an introduction. To be Mevarer Amida, means that I have to look at a certain Mida that I'm using right now, and I have to understand, and I have to be brutally honest with myself. Am I using this midah, this moment? Because everybody says, I have this midah, I have that midah. Forget about that stuff. I'm nice, I'm not nice. Forget about that. Now, right this minute, the question is, am I using this particular midah in order to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, the Emes, in truth? Or am I using this midah in order to satisfy my Ratzon? In order to satisfy my will, my Ratzon? In each and everything that a person does, he has to ask himself, am I right now involved in that horrible thing that Hashem says that he hates, which is called being Mashiach the Tzaddik? Or I'm doing another disgusting thing, which is being Matzdik a Rasha, because of something that I feel inclined to do. And this, Rabbi Yisai, is the avodah of one's entire life. And you can't even talk about Tikkun HaMidos without talking, without beginning with working on the Inyan of Bir HaMidos. Bir HaMidos means, I have within me the capacity to be a prosecuting attorney or a defense attorney. Because it's not as simple as what we began. It's not something that just prosecutes or just defends. Each of us, of course, each of us have both, we each have both of those kaifas. To see good and to operate in that mahalach, or to see the other side and to operate with that mahalach. So the avoida of one's life is that right now, l'mashal, right now I have this thought, where I'm feeling very, very critical about what somebody else is doing. I'm feeling a negative thought about what someone else is doing. So I'm in the shul and there's something that I don't like. And Pliny Almighty is doing this thing in the shul that I don't like. Even when it comes to something, let's say, talking. The person's talking in shul. There's not allowed to talk in shul. And this is something that you don't like. And you make the split-second decision to let this person know how you don't like that. And you tell him, you go over and you say, excuse me, we don't talk here. Oh, okay. That'll be the last time I dive in here also. Now, you did the right thing in your mind, because you were marshiach, what you did was, there was somebody who was, in your mind, who was doing your rishus, and you were marshiach the rasha. So you don't lose any sleep, and they tell you, you know, some of that guy's never going to step back into shul. So says, good. I taught him, he's a Rasha, and I was Mashiach the Rasha. I told him, it's a rishus. Now, when you come home, and after everybody pats in the back and gives you a high five, you're gewaldig. So then, stop and think. Or maybe you have someone that asks you, so why were you so strong about that? Is it because you have such an intense connection to that Seif in Shulchan Aruch? Is it because you love Shulchan Aruch so deeply? Or maybe it's because you have tremendous derecherets for the shul. Or maybe because you have tremendous derecherets for the Rav. And ask yourself this question. If be'emis, and it's so hard to do this, you know, because you immediately try to defend yourself, because you're always going to be your best defense attorney. But be'emis, you have to ask yourself, what was the motivation here? In other words, where was this coming from? What was the makor of that mishaberach that I gave the person? What was the makor? Was the makor from my desire to what? To help the shul, to help the rav, and to do the ratzon Hashem, that the tefillah should be covered, and so on. And if that is it, and you come to the birur of that midah and what you did, then you have to decide whether that was the right way to do it. Maybe you should have done it that way. You should have waited till after davening. You should have done something nice, or whatever it was. Decide. But if you can say be'emes la'amitah, then that means that you did the right thing. But if you look deeply into yourself and you say, you know something, I can't stand that guy for a number of reasons. Let me count the ways. I don't like that guy. I don't like the way he shuckles. I don't like the way he davens to the yomid. I don't like the way he leans. I don't like the way he sings. I don't like the way he sits. I don't like the guy. And if that's the case, then it could very well be, it's not just it, what it is that what you think was a gewaltige mitzvah, and that you were using your midas in the right way, is sheker. It's simply not true. That the makor, not to say that he should be able to talk. That's not the point. That has to be resolved. And if you know that you don't care for the guy so much, then maybe somebody else should take care of it. That's not the point. But how to stop the guy from talking? The point is your reaction. Birur HaMidas means that I have to ask myself that when I'm nighted to see something, when I'm inclined to see something horrible in a person, and it really bothers me, is that because of Be'etzim, there's a rishus, and I have to correct the rishus, and it's coming from something that's good inside of me, and I'm acting out to be what? To be my Shia the Rasha? Or is it, God forbid, chas v'chalila, that I am a prosecuting attorney, I tend to see things in a negative way, or at least this person I tend to look at in a negative way because of a history that we have together. And then he doesn't even know about that history, but you have a history with him. He doesn't know about it. And I tend to see what the negative in this guy. And therefore, even though if it would have been my cousin that would have been talking, I would have said, he didn't really learn yeshiva so long. It would have been my best friend that was talking. It would have been me that was talking in a different shul. Then I would have been Melamed Schuz. I would have suddenly ripped off my prosecuting attorney's outfit, put on my new outfit of defense, and say about myself, after all, the Rav here is suffocating us. He's killing us. Oh, look at you. You're the same one that shot down the guy that said, good Shabbos, how you doing to his friend? You couldn't be soivel one word in shul. But when it comes to yourself in a different shul, you have all kinds of sanagerim, all kinds of, you become Rablev Yisrael Vadishev. All of a sudden, the same guy who's a kanoi in his own shul, all of a sudden, just call me Reb Levi Yisrael Vadishev. I'm the nicest guy. I don't see bad in a Jew, especially myself. Or my best friend, and my cousin, and my aunt, and my uncle. Da, 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 da. One has to, the altar says that one has to stop and think every single time. When you want to be Melamed Schus on a person, in other words, you have something good to say. And you have to try to be Melamed Schus. You want to be Melamed Schus. Where is that coming from? That's also not Hefker. That's also not Hefker. What does it mean? It could be that the reason that I'm Melamed Schus, let's say the reason I'm Melamed Schus, so you have a guy that he says, you know what? Let's turn it around. There are people that, there's some people talking shul, and you have someone that is always Melamed Schus on these people. He says, you know what? It's very hard for people, they're working the whole week, and you know, and they want to socialize a little bit, and you know, if you don't let them talk in shul, then they might want to convert to something and go to church. So, whatever, so we have to give them a little bit of, you know, you have to be a little bit easier on people, you can't be so hard. So he's Mama Schus, you have to ask yourself, where does this come from? Am I such a nice guy? In other words, right now, this kayach that I have to be a defense attorney, this limit schus, maybe it's coming because I myself am a kalish reish. What does it mean? I myself am a kal. In other words, because I don't respect davening enough. It's not because I'm trying to be lama schus on a tzaddik. Or even to lama schus on someone doing something that's wrong. The reason that I'm lama schus is because I myself don't take davening that seriously. It doesn't mean that much to me. Or it could be something else. And the Vatican says something. We're going to talk about. I spoke about this summer. I gave 9 shiur on the Indian of Kinder. And we'll talk about it more on jealousy, envy. We'll talk about this more later on. But there is this strange bug in a person's head, the Alta says, and it's all this farm, where sometimes you're not soivel a person being better than you. It bothers you when he's better than you. In yeshiva, when we were kids, so they would be, oh, he's a goody-goody, right? Oh, now they say he's a nerd. But you have all these different kinds of lashonis. When you get older, you don't say that. You just say, that won't be tolerated. We don't tolerate that in this shul. Well, we do tolerate in this shul. The bottom line is that there is this thing in a person that you might not want that person to be a bigger tzaddik than you. And therefore, sometimes you can get very angry with a person who doesn't talk, let's say.
bothers you. Who are you? Who made you into a big sadhak? I never said anything to anybody. Doesn't bother anybody. Just sits with his sit and down. And you don't like him. He's odd. He's antisocial. He's unfriendly. And this could become like a whole thing. He's dangerous. He never says a word. Never says a word. My father's uncle Zunzine, he doesn't say you should talk, he doesn't say you shouldn't talk. Since I'm in this world, I never saw my father that he should talk in shul. And you wouldn't know that he's like a campaigner. He just say, he sits with a sitter, and davens, and doesn't talk. And not because he went through all this svarim on it, he says it's not derech eretz. It's how his father taught him. It's not derech eretz, you don't talk in shul. In the svarim hakadoshim, one of the midas that is discussed more than the others, really, in this context of working, I'm just giving you an example, to be mevarer one's midas, when it comes to humility. And again, these are just Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about each one during the year. Just a little bit of a hakdama, introduction. When it comes to humility, the Chofetz Chaim was the most humble Jew in the world. Long before him, there was Moshe Rabbeinu. Regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rebbe Yisrael himself said that Moshe Rabbeinu is the humblest person in the world. And yet, you know, and I said this morning, and yet the Chofetz Chaim, there were times the Chofetz Chaim was mamish tough as nails like a lion. When he saw that something was, God forbid, it was an attack against Yiddishkeit, against the yeshivas, against the Jew. He was mamish like a lion. You know, this is one of the things that is conveniently left out of the history books, except the ones that are honest. There are very few. There was a mishlachas that came to see the Chofetz Chaim in Europe from a certain organization that came to see the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim refused to meet with these people. And this group consisted of Rosh Yeshiva's big people. Chofetz Chaim did not speak to them. And Chofetz Chaim said, you can't come into my house. Why? Because they were among those who were speaking against Rav Kook. And the Chofetz Chaim said, you're not coming into my house. This was left out of the books. Chofetz Chaim didn't let them into the house. And people said, but Rebbe, they're Gedolim, they're Rosh Yeshiva's. Chofetz Chaim said, not by me. Not to do what they're doing to Rav Kook. They're not coming to my house. So everybody's thinking, this is the Chofetz Chaim. This is not the Chofetz Chaim that we read about in Olam Eino. That's not the Chofetz Chaim we grew up with, right? The Teretz is, cool, that you have to be strong-willed, a strong-willed person for your entire life, and there's no rule that you have to be what? Mush, through your entire life. The klal is to be mevara yamidis. And to be mevara the mida means that you have the koyach to prosecute the defense. You have the koyach to be humble, and you have the koyach to, not to be arrogant, but the koyach to be kosher to barzel, to be strong, not to give in. Therefore, sometimes in life, you have that a person is machlif the midas. Let me give you an example. When is this reversed? The most common way this is reversed is this. When it comes to public opinion, when you have a chevra, and the chevra wants to do something, you have the majority that holds a certain way, it's the automatic, instinctive nature of a person to be what? Humble. I humble myself before the will of the majority. I humble myself before the oilam, as the oilam wants to go right now, marauding through the streets, breaking windows, I humble myself to the oilam. I humble myself to the classroom. You're in a class. Remember, let's go back in time. This is not for the girls, it's for the guys. You're in a class, and you have some substitute Rebbe. He walks in like a hin for kaparis. You look at him. You look at those sad eyes. You saw the car that he came in. He had to push it halfway, right? You remember? And you see he comes in, and Nebuchadnezzar's shirt is in the teller's cotton. And he walks in. You can see that he gets a mishaberech from the kids. He gets from his wife a mishaberech. And we're going to give him the biggest mishaberech of all. The substitute Rebbe is a certain person called the substitute Rebbe, you know? There's this thing called the substitute Rebbe. And you take him a piece, and you're sitting in the class, and all the guys are doing this, and they're doing all kinds of stuff, and they're crazy, Rebbe this, and doing that, and you know inside of you that this is crazy, And so Rachmanis, he's such a sweet person, and you feel terrible inside of you, but you know that you're laughing and doing all the stuff that the rest of the guys are doing, and the terrorist is, when you're 120, I go by the majority. What am I going to do? I know better? Who am I? After all, I'm a nobody. And if the class decided that that guy's a lo yitzluch, who am I to disagree? I can't disagree with that. He's a lo yitzluch. I didn't think so. I think maybe he's a very sweet person. He's special. And I saw him. But it's not for me to decide. And here the person uses anivus. He's humble. Public opinion. What they say on the radio, what they say on television, what they say in the stores, what they advertise, 100%. Everybody buys into it, 100%. MS, you know the truth. Everybody in Madison Avenue knows the truth. Whatever they say on the television is true. Because it can't, because everybody says that, it must be it's true. And here you become so humble. You humble yourself before public opinion. And you're roch kikadu. Any fashion that comes out, Ani mam. Who am I to decide how long the skirt is to be? This is for the girls. Who am I to decide how long the skirt? I know about fashion. I'm a nobody. I can't even draw a picture. So if that guy in Paris made a picture like that, it must be his right. And I'm going to get it. Because they know the truth. It can't be. Because I'm an amiv. I'm very humble. That nida, which is normally so beautiful in a person, shiftless. When you use anivus, what? When you use humility with public opinion, then look what you're doing. You're mastic the Russia. You're mastic the Russia. Hashem says it's an abomination. And the same person who considered himself so humble, but when a tzaddik says something, then you have 1,000 kashas on the tzaddik. Oh, when you hear it about Torah from somebody, or the rabbi gets up and says about Torah, they come and you say, what do you think? Nah. But any Russia that gets up, you'll find to be mastic the Russia. But someone says it about Torah, or another Godel says something, all kinds of ways of knocking down, of getting out, and so on, putting down. So now it's interesting. When it comes to the street and public opinion, you're the humblest person in the world. You're a Chofetz Chaim. And when it comes, what, to the opposite? When it comes to how you behave towards the tzaddikim, towards the rabbi in class, when it comes to how you act to your husband, to your wife, when it comes to what really counts, critical, putting down everything that's negative. So Pella, you'll have a guy, and let's say his team, let's say he's a guy that likes the Mets. There are a few people like that. So somebody likes the Mets. So this guy likes the Mets, and I always have these discussions about So in class, so we used to go through this every day, David and I. So you have the Yankees are like, you know, like 100 games, you know, 100 games over 500, right? And the Mets like 100 games below. And then you'll have like one guy in class that's still Malamed Zchus on the Mets. We used to remember David. Really, and this is what W said. Really, he said, Rebbe, they're more talented than the Yankees. But I can't. But there's problems with the. It has to do with the Yankee Stadium. Different things like the wind. Those National League pitches, they're tough. The National League pitches, they're very hard. The American League pitches, you can take them for a ride. How come it doesn't work the other way with the Yankee pitch? You know, all right, this is a kasha, to say that. But you know, the National League is much more competitive. Yeah, dog. National League is much more competitive. So it's a kasha. The Yankees win 100 games. What kasha? But the Mets only won 10. They're better than the Yankees. And these are the discussions that we have growing up, right? That's just fun. It's just honest. It's fun. But then you'll have a person that he'll find all kind of hechatinses to show how the Mets are really the best team in baseball. But if his wife was 5 minutes late with supper, he can't find the limitschus. All of a sudden, yes, he becomes the state prosecutor. The same one that on what? On a bunch of mushchosim who are getting paid $1 million to hit balls. Where he's Malamed Zchus on what? On the worst player. It's a slump. But David, the slump's already 12 years. It's 12 years slump, David. 12 years. I don't know. Maybe it's not a slump. Maybe he's not good. No, he's good, Rebbe. He's bamus. He's good. You just thought we had to see the good in him. Did you see? He fouled that ball. That's good. He got a foul ball. He touched him. He made contact. That's good. That's good. No. So, but when it comes to the wife, one thing that's not good, not on time, one thing that's like this or like that. So the same person that's master Girosh is Mashiach the type. The wife is a tzaddikus. She lives for you. She lives for the kids. Day and night, she harvests only for her family. So this time she was late. This time it didn't work out. This time she said something you didn't like. You can't be mad. You can't be master her. No, you're Mashiach the tzaddik and you're master Girosh. No Russia can do bad in your eyes, and your wife can't do any good in your eyes. It's hafeich l'rishoyim ve'enam. This is the avoda of Bir HaMidos. One could spend his entire life living according to halacha, believing with all of his heart, always defending his views, always strong in his opinions, always feels that he uses the midah the right way. He's always strong-willed, he's always tough, he's always angry, but he always feels I do exactly, I say what I should, I am who I'm supposed to be, and so on. And his whole life, after 120, the Baruch Shalom shows him that even though you could say that there's a midah that's called Aziz, there is a midah that's called being strong. And there is a midah that's called being humble. And you're right, there are midahs like that in Torah. But my friend, you used the wrong thing at the wrong time. There is a midah that's called shiftless, but you should have been humble before the substitute rabbi. You should have been humble with your wife. You should have been humble with the tzaddikim. You should have been humble when you heard of the Devat Torah. You should have been humble when somebody disagreed with you in an argument and you could have stepped back. And when should you have been tough? You should have been a balgaiva, you know when? To go against the street. To go against public opinion. To go against the rishon. To be proud of who you are. Not to give in to every narishkeit, every fashion, every picture in the newspaper. You are Mazdik the Rasha, you are Mashiach the Tzaddik. And Hashem should protect us. Hashem says, Tayavis Hashem Gam Shnei. That this is an abomination in the Baruch Shalom's eyes. There's a midah of Gavus Halev, which we're going to talk a lot about this later, I have to end. There's a midah that's called Gavus Halev. Gavus Halev means, when it says in the Pasuk, Vayig Baliba Badaki Hashem. Vayig Baliba Badaki Hashem means, it's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, it's the beginning of Mishnah Berurah. Vayig Baliba Badaki Hashem means that even if the whole world does not live according to what you believe in, according to Torah Mitzvahs, you will stand up for what you believe in, you're not embarrassed. You will dress as a Jew, you'll talk like a Jew, you'll act like a Jew. That's Vayig Baliba Badaki Hashem. But if you use that midah of what? Pride and Gavus Halev, if you use that when you shouldn't use it, then you're just a Balgaiva. There's no midah, there's no good or bad in Gaiva itself. It's all a question of being Mavara, of clarifying, of thinking, of figuring out what's the Torah's emes, what's the Rasan Hashem. What does Hashem's Baruch want of me this moment? And then is, I really wanted to spend like 15 minutes on this. I just, you know, I told too many jokes. But the whole parsha of Esav and Yaakov. It's the whole parsha of Esav and Yaakov. Where really Esav was the one who had, Yaakov was cool like Taif. Yaakov was just purely good and only a defense attorney. Yaakov was purely good and everything is good. Esav is the one that had Taif and Ra. Esav is the one that had both of these kaitas rolling around inside of him. That's why the right of the firstborn is what? Pishnayim is double. Yaakov's taking of the Bechaira means that from now on it's going to be complicated. It's Pishnayim. I have the Kayach of Yaakov, which is purely good. I have the Kayach of Esav, which is what? Which is the side of confusion. And Yaakov takes the Pishnayim, the double portion of the firstborn, which means now we have this avoid of being Mavara everything. In that way of Toiv and Ra, trying to clarify, trying to separate. That's the whole inyan of Yaakov and Esav. Let me just end by reading from the Chavis Talmidim, which we're going to get to Mishnah pretty soon, in the Chavis Talmidim Shir. I just manage for a minute. Ki im amnam seichel ha'neshi rei rak le'nayim chitzenis midas hen kiroz, saying, a human being, when you look at midas, you look at your own midas, when you look at them in an external, shallow way, it looks to you like everything is just bad. So he says, oh, is that money over there? How you doing? How are my glasses? So he says, Sholach Hashem lanu es habal shem tov hakadosh zeichet tzadik levrach. Ish lekim kadosh v'nayir.
Of course, the chassidim stand up for the chassidim. The pizetzner says that you look at something inside of you, the way that you act, the way that you have a certain need, and you say, it's bad. So the pizetzner says, the Baruch Shalom sent us the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Ish lekim kadosh, a holy man of God. V'es talmid of HaKadoshim Achrev Ma'ir Yisrael, the lights of Israel. But it wasn't only the talmid of Baal Shem. Tonight's whole shiur was from the Madregas Odom, not from the talmid of Baal Shem. V'heim limdu ha'isonu. Certainly the talmid of Baal Shem focused more on trying to see the good. V'heim limdu ha'isonu. Sh'amid is b'ish Yisrael k'doshes hay. The Baal Shem HaKadosh, talmid of Baal Shem, all the tzaddikim taught us that the midas of a Jew are midas kedoshes. Chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, chayit, yisoid, gaiva, anivas, even anger, they're all midas kedoshes. They're all holy midas. Nimoram hein mefiyas and mishtasos. They come from the highest world into our lives. Rak ba'olam hazeh u'bulguv shel olam hazeh. However, in this world and in this body, im ein, listen to the words, im ein yodim eichles nahig bohen. If I don't know how to use the midas hakadoshes, when to be humble and when to be tough, if I don't know how, then the shtan and mareya, the nearest the rose, then they look ugly. They look ugly. They appear ugly. They're not, but it takes on the appearance of ugliness. Moshe lamayim zakim mitzloiches mizohama. It's like taking beautiful crystal clear water and putting it into a filthy dish. So the water looks like it's dirty, it's disgusting. The water is beautiful, but it's in a disgusting dish. Shagam hamayim nirim zahamim vachutzay, that's loiches. That the waters look like they're dirty, but it's really not the waters themselves. It's really not the waters, it's the tzloiches. I remember when there was a neighbor that I lived in years ago, before Farakway, and there was a mikveh that was built by a big Talmid Chacham, and the water was green. The water was green. You know, I'm talking about the first green. I mean, after a couple of days, it gets a lot of colors. But I'm talking about a men's mikveh, not a. And the water was green. And they tried this and they looked at that and the color of the floor, everything they tried this. In the end, it was some sort of like a reflection from something. Because the water, they tested the water. Everything was fine. They thought there was something wrong with it. There was too much of the chlorine. Whatever it was. The water was perfect, but the kli was something was wrong with the kalim, something was wrong with the conditions, and that's the story of our lives. Therefore, when we're learning this inyan, never ever to be misyayish. Even though I'm saying certain things, I'm saying them in a strong way because it's important to clarify, and that's why I have to push a little bit harder than usual. Still, not to be misyayish. Even if we've seen things in ourselves for many many years that look like they're terrible. They are not chalila. It's just that we're putting them into the wrong dish. You understand? The water is good. We just have to use. We just have to learn how to package it. We have to learn when to use this and how to use it. Hashem didn't create any of us. God forbid to be bad, chalila, to be evil. God forbid we even. We have bnei elokim chayim. But the goyim they're schlechte midas. I'm not going to get into it now. And nowadays, even you talk. Used to be you could talk. You can't even talk about these things nowadays. A schlechte midas. We don't have that. We have midas. What you do with the midas, that's the decision that you have to make every single moment. What do I do right now? What's the rotz in Hashem's bar? We still didn't answer. Remember, we're putting this kasha, that there's a name that the Baruch Shalom said that he gave Yaakov Avinu that he loves, and he loves that name, and it gives him simcha. It's called, what's the name? Yeshua. It's Hashem. Next week we don't have a shir. Next week we're going to get together in the Yangazel Cedars Lawrence at what time? At 8 o'clock, Tel Dechaveim, United Labor Day. It's the 10th anniversary of the shul. And so you'll stay tuned. You'll have a schedule of the shiurim. The mitzvah will continue. It's the following week. I don't know when. Or it could be 2 weeks. We'll look in the schedule. Keep in touch. And we'll continue with it. But hold on to Rav Hutnis Kasha. Don't forget Rav Hutnis Kasha. Shkoyach HaGizvah.